The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, and so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. And when they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. And when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. You know that each year we cycle through each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. This year we're going through Mark, but you notice I read from the Gospel of John today, right? It's not because I'm lost. But the church at this time of the year interrupts the cycle, and for the next, today and the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks in total, we're going to be listening from chapter 6, the discourse that Jesus will give us after this miracle, explaining many things. The Gospel of John is very profound, that the 7 signs he works, this being one of them, have different levels of meaning, the surface level, but then the more theological and sublime. And certainly we will hear over in the coming weeks, and you know that this miracle is what we do each and every Sunday with the Eucharist, Jesus truly present, feeding us. But today, we're called to look more closely at the miracle. This miracle tells us much about God. And when we read the Gospels, what I like to try to encourage people to do is to take the scene of the Gospel and put yourself in the scene. Ask for the Holy Spirit to inspire you, because it's prayer. But read the Gospel, but see it in your mind. Hear the sounds, smell the smells, feel the feelings. Put yourself in a place of one of the characters. And today, if we put ourselves in the place of Philip, how do you feel? Philip is there and he sees the crowds of people coming. Multitudes, probably 20,000 if there were 5,000 men, including women and children. And Jesus turns to him and says, "How are we going to buy food to feed all these people?" I'm sure he feels overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed in your life with the things you need to provide for your families or for those you care for or work with, or our community or our world. And Jesus does something extraordinary. Calls forward, actually Andrew does, but calls forward a little child, considered the least among us, the most humble. And the child has the food of poor people, barley loaves and some dried fish. What good is this for all the people? And Jesus multiplies it, and it satisfies the crowd. Oftentimes, when we're faced with difficult situations, we might feel like we have a little bit, but that we don't feel that our little bit is adequate. We don't feel up to the task that God is giving us. But God is saying, I care about you so much that I am involved in every part of your life. Trust in me, give the best you have, and I'll work with that, and I'll multiply it and make it enough. That's a powerful message. It's a consoling message. And I think in my life, of the times that I've experienced that, each time I think of it, it's a joy and a pleasure because God has been involved in our life. But I think of things like in my previous churches when I worked in a food pantry or an after-school program and the many donations that continued to come in. I never had a family, but talking to many parents who feel similarly about providing for their family, looking for places to live, dealing with financial problems in their lives, and trusting in God and seeing God help. These are powerful examples, but it's not only talking about money. It's really talking about everything. I heard one story this week that I'd like to share with you that I think exemplifies this exactly. It was a ministry of young parents coming together, trying to form a new ministry to support parents of young families from a faith perspective. And one of the mothers shared this story. I want to learn more how to give God to my children, and I don't know how to do that. But sometimes, she says, things aren't going well in a family. The kids are misbehaving. There's a bad spirit in the air. And so once in a while, I'll just stop and say, kids, children, let's pray. And we stop for a minute or two and pray. And something always happens, and the spirit gets better. To me, that's a powerful example. She's struggling how to teach her kids faith. She's teaching them faith by having faith and bringing them in prayer to ask God to satisfy our needs. And he multiplies what little she felt she had. Other stories I've heard, you're going to hear about Pastor Al at the end of Mass. God put on his heart to go to an abortion clinic and talk to mothers who might be considering to have an abortion. And one of them decided not to do that, but she had no place to go. And so what does he do? He says, come to my home. Years later, he's running a ministry that served, I think, over 8,000 mothers and children. God took what little he had and multiplied it. There's another person I heard that's talk that gave me a powerful lesson also. Deacon Ralph Pollo. He's a minister in the new evangelization, and I've read his books and heard him talk. And he shares that as a deacon in the Catholic Church, he started out as a youth minister. And his family made fun of him and said, how are you ever going to support a family on a youth minister's salary? Well, he did. By the grace of God, he testifies. He has three grown children that all went through college, Catholic education. And he says, and now I run this international ministry. And what I found is that God used material things, little things, to teach me trust. And now that I've learned trust or faith, he's empowered me with real riches, spiritual gifts. God loves us. God, the creator of the universe and the world, is involved in our lives. even for the little things, because he wants us to know him, to love him, to know he cares about us, but he wants to use the little things to develop our faith and trust so that we can be used for bigger things. Jesus says, trust me. Give what little you have. It's enough. I can work with that. Now, I have to be cautious. Every time we pray, right, does God always answer those needs? I think yes, but it doesn't seem like it. Because sometimes we do confuse what are our needs with what we think are our needs. But God's calling us to trust even when it seems like it's not working. Because he does care, and he will use our needs sometime to change our direction or to lead us to where we need to go. Finally, this miracle tells us more about God. Not only how much God loves us individually and wants to help us, but it reveals God's plan for the world. You see, in this gospel, this parable, this miracle is present in all four Gospels. And in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's an interesting exchange between Jesus and the disciples. They say, where are we going to get enough money to buy all this? Jesus says, why don't you feed them? It reveals to us that the disciples wanted to send these people away so they could go buy something of their own. But God didn't want to send them away. God loves us so much, he wants to draw all people to himself. And as we as a people get closer to God, that means we get closer to each other. And you know, I've heard it said, people tell me who are struggling to believe, you know, if God is so loving, if God is all powerful, why are there so many starving people in the world? Maybe we're blaming God for our problems. Maybe God's saying to us, you feed them. You see, one thing all humans have in common is our need for the basics. And it is maybe in our service to one another and our generosity that we've learned from God being generous to us, that we are freed to share that generosity with others and reach out and heal a broken, wounded world. This is God's plan for the world. He wants our service to unite us all in Christ. St. Paul tells us that. But what do we hear often in our press, in our media, in our world? Sometimes we hear, we can't afford it. Put up walls. Keep other people away. We have to maintain our standard of living. Is that what this gospel is saying? I don't think so. This gospel is saying, trust in me. Open your hearts, because God's trust in God frees us to be generous with others. That generosity heals a broken world.